Welcome to the Sports Bros Podcast, featuring the almighty B-Live, the money man Scotty D, and your host, the head of creative Eddie Cool. The Sports Bros Podcast, by the fan, for the fan, talking sports just the way you like it. And without any further ado, let's give it up for the Sports Bros. It's Wednesday, and you know what time it is. It's time for your favorite sports podcast, none other than the Sports Bros Podcast. It's Wednesday, it's fall, it's not as hot. The season is crisp, to say that the most. I go by the name of your boy, the HOC, Eddie Cool, and as I said before, and I'll say again until I'm blue in the face, this right here is the Sports Bros Podcast. Now, normally, I would have not only one, but two of the best co-hosts in the world. The other co-host, he'll be joining us shortly because, you know, he has the school obligations. Shout out to Scotty D doing his thing over there at Waynesburg College. I have, though, the manager, the man himself over there at the Share Studios in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and the founder of the Fins Network. Stay tuned, the founder of the Fins Network. He is the one, the only, the all. Almighty B-Live.
What's happening? What's going on in the world today? Let me go ahead and get this out of the way real quick. Fantasy football did me a little bit better this week, just a little bit.
Okay.
I'm gonna go ahead and mention this to my one of our fellow listeners and our best friend of 25 years. Ooh, you got beat up, JR. JR, I don't even know what to tell you when it comes to fantasy football. I'm just going to send my condolences. Good Lord. I think he lost by, what, 100? He lost by like 140 points. Ooh. And the dude he was playing had Raheem Mostert on the bench. Like, that could have been epic. Man, you know, I digress here and there. I'm a little hurt. My college team is 2-2. My pro team is 0-3. It is what it is. Everybody got jokes, but it's all right. I'm B.I. I can't win them all. And normally, you know what? I will be all right without Scotty D singing just for 1 week. Yeah, you think we could do it without him? And without his condescending remarks, we'll be all right. We'll be all right. He'll be here a little bit later. Let's get into it. Let's talk about some things.
You know, I was trying to think of a song to sing, but I ain't got one at the moment. But the song that I will sing is, let's go ahead and hop right into it. The top of the order. All right, let's get this thing started. Here it is, the top of the order. As B-Live mentioned, week three and a whole lot happened. Expectations, unexpectations. And with that being said, to take a page from the almighty B-Live's phrase and terminology, we're going to play a game of what happened? Because we got questions that need answering, especially when it comes to freaking Sunday. Let's go ahead and get the elephant out of the room. Let's go ahead and get out of the way. What happened to the Denver Broncos?
Let's talk about some things real quick.
Okay, let's talk about it.
1966.
Okay.
Was the last time, well before we were even thought about, let alone born, was the last time somebody put up 70 points in an NFL game. We were watching college football on Sunday. That's what happened to the Denver Broncos. When you, this doesn't happen in the NFL. First of all, shout out to Abe. Tua did his thing. Raheem Mostert did his thing. And we got to pronounce it correctly because my man he's on the map after the performance he had. It's Devon A-Chan, C-H-A-N, not A-Chain. He ain't 2 Chainz, he's A-Chan. Devon A-Chan. Good Lord. He on the map. That's what happened.
And he was on Scotty D's bench.
You gotta hit him with it. But man, here's the problem. That ain't even what the problem is. We watch college football as even to the tune of they put in their backup quarterback.
Yeah.
White came into the game. And guess who he dropped a dime to? Did you happen to see who he dropped a dime to?
Yep, former Carolina Panther, New York Jet, and Arizona Cardinal, Robbie, it ain't Anderson, Chosen.
Robbie Chosen came off the practice squad because Jalen Waddle was hurt. He came off the practice squad. He made it into the game and got a 65-yard touchdown. When you got that backup quarterback coming into the game, and drop it a dime, and it's got. I said, you know what? Whoever is the Denver's defensive coordinator, you go ahead and just pack up his stuff. You're not allowed as an NFL defensive coordinator to even allow that to happen. So somebody's got.
I think that's Vance Joseph.
Oh, man, and I hate to even call for a man. You know, we got to for the culture, but. It was good. What can you say? What do you do? Like, you can't let a team score suck. The fact that NFL teams don't even do that. Like, the game's well in hand, but. You know what I want to know? I want to know Denver's defense. Fantasy football score. What was it? It had to be like negative 20 at this one time. Like that had to be a special category to allow 70.
I don't know, but from what I heard in one of my other leagues, I think somehow Denver was in the positive. I can neither confirm or deny that. That might be rumor in your window. Excuse me. But there's no way in hell that's possible. That it's
There's a limit to it. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, you lose, like, 5 points if you let them score more than 40. But you do not factor in 70 points. You just don't. It's a mess. Vance Joseph, just Sean Payton, what are y'all paying Russell Wilson for? He is robbing Denver blind. You know what? I'm going to say this right now. I'm going to say this on the air. Walmart, if you raise your prices by 1 red cent, I triple dog dare y'all to raise your prices. No, hey, I'm going to be at Walmart at the self checkout, because y'all don't even have cashiers. But y'all can afford to pay Russell Wilson $50+ million a year for that. He ain't even on defense, but you got to score more than 20. Like, you get the ball. For a team to score 70 points, that means the offense is also on the field because they are getting that many opportunities. If Miami's offense is scoring that quickly, then Denver's offense got to be right back on the field, and Russell Wilson only pull up 20. Stop it. Don't ever let it happen again. People of Denver, Colorado, Boulder, Colorado, all of Colorado, y'all had a bad weekend.
It's been a rough weekend.
Oh, buddy.
And I'm looking at our fantasy league, the Sports Bowls Podcast Fantasy Football League, which the scoring is different. I call it the Wild Wild West scoring, so that way we can talk that cash-ish and have fun. The Denver Broncos, they came out on the positive side with 31 fantasy points.
And like I said, our fantasy league is just different. It's just points for no reason, but it's balanced across the board. So it's not like one person gets more points than somebody else. Hey, if the defense gets 31 points, I think it looks like we get points for sacks, tackles for loss, interceptions, some other stuff, and a partridge in a pear tree. But let's put this either way.
And in other leagues, you know, standard leagues, they average anywhere between 2 to 3 points.
They must have that is impressive to allow 70 points to still end up on a positive.
Yeah.
Must have a couple of sacks, but either way, a hot mess.
Yeah. B-Lot, but you also mentioned something too. They did all of this. I'm gonna tell you what. They could have ran the score up to 80 had they would have had Jalen Waddle. Now, they did all this minus Jalen Waddle, who was out with an injury. Like, is this what's going on now? We're doing all this without one of our without a 1,000-yard receiver? Like, I'm telling you, man, that Miami Dolphins offense is going to cause problems, big-time problems. It's just
– Did you see the no-look pass? Did you see Tua do the that was better than Patrick Mahomes? Maybe Tyreek Hill really owned something.
Yeah.
Tua's out there dropping out. They is out here playing street ball, NFL street. I said, y'all need to cut it out. Y'all need to stop it.
Yeah.
Man, oh man. But that wasn't the only what happened that good. But that was a big what happened. That was a big one. Another what happened in my eyes, and this is the one where we need Scotty D for this.
I was going to go there.
We need Scotty D for this one. You need to report front and center. And if we get him on the show later on,
I'm going to ask him
anyway. Because
what happened to the Dallas Cowboys? Now, Dallas Cowboys, they had this all-world defense. Earlier during the week, Trayvon Diggs, he tore his ACL in camp. I mean, not camp, but in practice. He's out for the season. So you figure the Cowboys are going to Arizona. Like, okay, they're gonna do what they need to be. They're gonna do what they need to do. Dak is going to be serviceable. They're not gonna ask Dak for much. It's gonna be the nation, a domination when it came to the defense. But somehow, some way, like them damn devil Broncos, the bottom fell out. And then that, and the thing about it, be live on that final, on the Cowboys last drive, who was Dak throwing to? Because all I saw was red jerseys.
These are questions that we don't have answers to.
Oh, we don't.
Another question is, how does Dallas lose to a rebuilding? And when I say rebuilding, I mean a rebuilding Arizona Cardinals with their backup QB. How did Joshua Dobbs outduel Dak Prescott? You know who I need on the show? Call up Trey Dizzle immediately. Report to the front, because I need to hear your rant on this. I seen a few of them. When you know what? I'm gonna pull one up. I don't normally.
You gonna pull one up?
I'm a man.
Shout out to Trey Dizzle. Shout out to everybody that's been watching and listening to the Sports Bros podcast for these past 4 years. We greatly appreciate it, because it's moments like this where we have put your input into the show. And if anything you got us that you want to put us in, that you want us to put into the podcast, DM myself, DM Scotty D, or post in the Facebook family group, and we'll gladly repost it. What did they say, B-Live? This should be good.
This is a good one right here. And this is on his own personal page. I'm stealing. I don't care. In Dak Prescott's career, when he's been down by more than 7 points at any point in the game, our record as a team is 2-23. $40 million for a quarterback who is only serviceable when he's not needed. All these clowns in the media and these Homer Cowboys fans who can't read or write, apparently, telling me that our offense looked good in the first 2 weeks of the season, need to get their vision checked and read a Football for Dummies book. This is exactly how our offense looked in the first two games, and everybody pretended like it was game management to not score touchdowns in the red zone. No, it's Dak Prescott. Every single time we need him, he falls apart and goes into a shell. That guy has literally never been clutch in any situation. There's a reason why Jerry Jones hasn't extended this bum and went out and signed Trey Lance on a trade and didn't even tell Dak about it. I can't wait for this guy to be on a different team next season. Scorching hot take from Trey Dizzle, and I'm here for it. Yo, come on, bro. But he's, did you hear any lies?
None.
My man came with facts.
None.
I don't ever recall Dak Prescott being able to come back from down. And I mean, he's put up some stats here and there, but you can't get outdued by a backup quarterback. Joshua Dobbs, no disrespect to him, but the Arizona Cardinals, they came into the season with very, very little hope. And Dallas had convinced the world that this is their year. We them boys. Man. It was one of those things where I couldn't believe it, but it's the Cowboys, so I ended up believing.
Which means we're just not surprised. It's kind of like, I was watching the game, I was like, okay, all right. And I was like, oh boy, here we go. And we got Joshua Dobbs out here looking all world.
17 for 21. Like, this dude was, that is why I want to say, what, 80%?
Roughly.
80% completion rate.
Yeah.
189 yards, one touchdown. That is very good for a backup quarterback. James Conner out here breaking tackles, looking like he back in his early 20s again. What happened?
Yeah, that's like two of the biggest things between the Broncos and the Cowboys. It's a tale of two different teams heading in two different directions. It's wild, man. I'm like, okay. Because going into this game, I'm like, okay, Cowboys should go in here and just do what they've been doing. Could it be a result that they are now suffering the effects of the season-ending injury to Trayvon Diggs? What's going on with the defense? I mean, offensively, like you said about Dak, like, I mean, it's clearly to see that Dak, he just ain't the guy. He is just not the guy. He is. And the thing about it is, like, I've been going back and forth with Trey Dizzle for years, be like, I'll give Dak a chance. I'll do this. Dak ain't that bad. You could be in a situation with the Carolina Panthers where you don't have a franchise quarterback, where you don't have this. I'm on the outside looking in. But the more I look at Dak and I'm like, bro, this ain't it. I mean, he got weapons. He got a line. It's just, I don't know if it's bad play calling, bad decision making. But like I said, the one that really threw me off was when that last turnover that the Cardinals got, that interception by the linebacker. Dak, I saw what you're trying to do. I forgot who's come across on that route, but that route had to develop a little bit more. It had to develop a little bit more, and that wide receiver had to get separation. Other than that, you had your wide receiver here, a red jersey. Like, and I guess he thought, I'm going to try to get into a tight window, and you got picked off, bro. That ain't –
he's got to stop. He keeps trying to do these – I got to do this. I got to make – no, bro. Like, I you're not who you think you are. Let's just put it that way. And it's getting worse and worse. And at this point it is, I don't know what to tell that. Like, I was starting to believe. Oop. I don't know. There's one other when it comes to backup quarterbacks and quarterbacks that are getting paid top dollar. There's one more game I'm going to throw out there, and that got me scratching my head with what happened.
And that is?
The Indianapolis Colts versus the Baltimore Ravens.
Bilal, did you see? Please tell me that you saw in overtime where the Ravens had a chance to put Justin Tucker out there in field goal position because he missed the one from 61, but I think they were driving into Colts territory and they had it between, I don't know, like 50, between 51 and 55, a Justin Tucker chip shot, and yes, what? That's Justin Tucker boop, chip shot, and the Braves got to a second down situation, and instead of throwing the ball away, Lamar Jackson takes a sack, and it knocks him out of field goal range. I'm like, bruh, what happened?
It's one of the things, Lamar Jackson, you begged and you pleaded. You positioned and like you say, I want guaranteed money. I want this. I deserve this. Da 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 da. These are the games right here where you show like you're worth that much money. I ain't seen it yet. Every single quarterback has gotten paid that extra money. I ain't seen it outside of the one game where Justin Herbert had over 400 yards, but they sitting up. What they're 1-2, if I'm not mistaken.
And they damn near ran it down the leg again. Brandon Staley, your ass on the clock.
But man, Lamar Jackson, you better hold on to that ball. And on top of that, like, Lamar Jackson get paid all that guaranteed money. Got lost to a backup quarterback, albeit Gardner Minshew. I mean, in some circles, he might be starting somewhere, but he's still a backup quarterback for a reason. And you can't lose these games. You can't lose these games making the kind of money that you make. And of course, Lamar Jackson isn't playing defense. He did what he was supposed to do, sort of, kind of, but he did lose a fumble. And I mean, 200 yards passing, 100 yards rushing, 2 total touchdowns. I mean, that's a Lamar Jackson type of day. But fumble, that sack he took, you can't do that. And you lost to Gardner Minshew.
And the thing about it is, the Ravens were already down because Odell was injured. He wasn't out there. Their running back, which was it, Gus Edwards?
Did Gus Edwards get hurt? J.K. Dobbins is out for the season.
He's out for a season, but I think like another one of the running backs got a concussion too. And so they were already, you know, he already had the cards stacked up against him. It's like this, man. I see why the owners are hesitant to give these guys extra money, because you want this money, you got to put up results. Mm. Like, this is a results-based league and a results-based occupation. If you ain't putting up the numbers to equate the money, then we're going to look at you like, why exactly did we give you did this money? And then the Colts kicker, he went 5 for 5.
Matt Gay, and not a Sports Bros Fantasy League, but I got him in another league, got me 24 points.
Yeah.
Roll up.
Let's go. I think he's the only kicker to nail 5 straight field goals from 50 yards plus, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh yeah, he was putting that foot on him. Oh yeah,
he had ice in his veins, Bilal, before we move on to college football, the rookies, Tank Dell, Puka Nacua, Devon Achane, and of course, CJ Stroud, which I wish we took CJ Stroud. Look, out of that, you know, 4-pack of dudes, CJ Stroud, despite what his team has got going on, despite against all odds, I know it's only 3 games into the season, Bilal, but CJ Stroud is looking pretty good.
For a rookie, he's doing what he expected to do. I think he's still has he thrown an interception yet?
Nope.
That's what you ask. Don't make too many mistakes. 906 yards passing after 3 games, 4 touchdowns.
I'll say it again, and I'm on record for saying it. And I'll say it again until I'm blue in the face. And look, even though Bryce Young is Bryce Young, but C.J. Stroud is different. And they say all Ohio State quarterbacks are not successful. And if you ask me, I think C.J. Stroud has the upside and the potential to break that schneid. I think he does, man. Breedive, just imagine if Houston had a healthy O-line, had a healthy and functioning and regular O-line to go to complimentary running game, and then he has receivers.
They got a prime. They got a prime opportunity in front of them. They just beat who we thought were just going to leaps and bounds going to take the division. They just beat them. Like, and Houston might end up in the playoffs this year. What else do they stay on? They don't have anything to lose.
No, playing like this. I mean, because they're void. With the Jets are not making the playoffs. They just, it's not gonna happen. With the void, I mean, you got a team like the Chargers that can jump in there. You got a team like Houston playing at this, you know, playing at this pace can hop up in there. And if you ask me, if we're looking at AFC East, all right, Buffalo, guess who's knocking at your door, nipping on your heels? Them damn Miami Dolphins. All right, and that about does it for week 3 discussion of NFL football. Coming up next, college football and the B-Live Top 5. Right after this on the Sports Bros Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, cats, dogs, service industry workers, the unemployed, the hustle mans, the marsupials, the chickens, and everything in between. This is the B-Live Top 5.
Let's talk to the people real quick. You know how passionate I am about college football, and I have my own ranking. I don't care what the AP says. I don't care what the coaches say. I do my own thing because I see things just a little bit different. And this is how I come with it, with the B-Live Top 5. And I'm going to come in at number 5, and I'm coming in hot because it ain't being talked about. It should be talked about. I think some people start to get the memo about this team and about this dude that should be leading in the Heisman race. He should be. And I'm talking about Michael Penix Jr. and the Washington Husky. Bro, Michael Penix Jr. all he's done is thrown for 400 yards all 4 games this year. This dude is dropping dimes on him. He is slanging it. He is spinning the pigskin all the way down the field. He should be leading in everybody's Heisman vote. But guess what? He's on the West Coast, and some people ain't going to stay up until 1 o'clock in the morning each time. Hey, I'm guilty of that too. But I have enough foresight to at least catch a highlight and check some stats. I would not be surprised to see Washington represent the Pac-12 and into the playoff. Mess around with me, I might throw in 2 teams from the Pac-12 if we'll see. There's a lot going on because as of right now, I don't have an ACC team in the playoff. I said it. It is what it is. I feel like Florida State is going to slip up and lose one. And if they lose one, the ACC is not making it in. I'm sorry. But that's neither here nor there. Clemson is dead last in the ACC. The whole world is coming apart.
Oh, boy.
Clemson is dead last in the ACC. I said it. I'm hurt. And I'm going to cry, but it's okay. Coming in at number 4, Hook'em Horns, Texas. Longhorns. Ain't showing me nothing but good stuff down there. And I don't see anybody maybe Oklahoma, but Oklahoma looked a little suspect this week. I don't see anybody in the Big 12 that's stopping Texas this year. It is theirs to win and theirs to lose. Texas coming in at number four. Coming in at number three with arguably one of the best wins of the year. I would say the second best win of the year. D, Ohio State University. I thought Notre Dame was, this is their year. And Ohio State just toughed it out. I think that I put them up there just for the sake of, I think at the end of the day, it's going to come, you know, it's going to come down to it. Do not sleep on Penn State either. Do not sleep on them at all. I have Ohio State up there for now because it's one of those things, what have you done for me lately? Ohio State, that was a statement win against Notre Dame. Now, Notre Dame, you need to get your life together. I'm going to talk about y'all a little bit later in the show.
And they won on the road.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
South on the road.
Not an easy place to win. Touchdown Jesus. Coming in at number two. Hey, you still ain't showed me yet why you are the reigning defending back-to-back national champions. But I'm still going to punish y'all because you don't go down 14-3 at the half against South Carolina. The Coots, come on. The Dirt Peckers, Coot Lummy, come on, bro. You don't go 14-3 against them. We'll see. We'll see, Georgia. We'll see. We'll see. But you're at number two for now. And coming in at number one, I see no reason not to. Not yet, at least. That team up north, the Michigan Wolverines, coming in at number one. And I'm going to say this, Florida State, I hope everybody realizes that Clemson isn't that bad of a team. But Clemson was unranked and outperformed y'all the entire regular portion of the first four quarters. And if we had a halfway decent kicker, if we didn't pull a kicker from off the street, he did his job. But in that one last one, if he makes that field goal, Florida State leaves Death Valley within hell. Florida State won that game because we did not have a serviceable kicker. And terrible clock management. Dabo Sweeney, Wes Goodwin, Garrett Riley, I need y'all to go to three different corners and put your nose to the corner. And y'all, and I'm going to lock y'all in there. And y'all not coming out until y'all get on the same page. Because this is a hot mess. It's terrible watching. Clearly, Dabo is going one direction. Garrett Riley's going in another direction. Wes Goodwin's going in another direction. And you can see it clashing on the sideline. That is the Be Live top five. And Clemson, get your life together. I'm sorry. Y'all really know.
All right. So, thinking like this, if we're going to do a little quick recap of the college football weekend, like you said, Florida State, they ain't playing no games. Ryan Day of Ohio State say, Lou Holtz, where you at? Where you at? He said it's Ohio against everybody. And so Ryan Day is like, look, don't count us out quite yet. Oregon did what they were supposed to do.
Yep.
I mean, what do you expect? Oregon did what they were supposed to do, and they made it happen. They're a far superior team talent-wise than Colorado, but like D.I. said, you better get us now because this is it. This is it, and I firmly believe that.
Unfortunately, Colorado, you're number one in the B-Live, not top five when it comes to being overrated.
Oh.
I didn't overrate you. The rest of the world, here's the thing. I'm on that Colorado train. I want to see Dion and them boys do great things. But I'm a realist, too. I say Colorado's probably going to win 6 or 7 games. I may have upped it to 8 or 9. But, dude, Oregon, Southern Cal, Washington, Utah, these dudes aren't playing in the Pac-12, a.k.a. the Pac-2. But, hey. Hats off to what you've done with the transfer portal and reshaping that entire football program. You're gonna go to a bowl game. This will be considered a success to people that know any better. Everybody else that want to be hating out there, shut up. Deion, keep doing you, bro. You got support to see. Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. Just keep doing what you're doing, Coach Prime, man. You know, the wins and losses, they come and they go, but it's all about how you react after the fact. Well, be live. Looking at my phone because for some strange reason, I just don't want to get a watch. I got a rubber band, but I don't want to get a watch. Guess what time it is?
What time is it? What's happening? What's going on?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. It's time once again for our favorite portion of the show, The Choices of the Voices. And with that being said, hey, yo, button, hit it. Choices of the Voices right after this, right here on the Sports Bros Podcast. Stop with that bull junk.
And now, our favorite part of the show, The Choices of the Voices.
Once again, thank you to the wonderful land. Oh, Scotty D just joined us. Hold your ear, Scotty D. Ever. So lovely, Ms. Button, for introducing our favorite portion of the show, The Choices of the Voices. We got B-Live trying to figure out what's going on. Scotty D looking like an astute college student. He's sporting the brown Regis this week, ladies and gentlemen, not the black ones. Those are available.
Oh, I got the wrong ones.
Oh, man.
I couldn't see. Put on the right ones.
Those are available on the sportsbrospodcast.com, which means we don't have a website. I'm joking. Which means Coach Prime ain't the only one selling the eyeglass paraphernalia and wear. But enough of me doing that. Scotty D, what's on tap for this week's Choices of the Voices?
First of all, I just wanted to tell you, since I didn't get to talk earlier with you guys, how much I enjoyed some of these great college football scores this past weekend. We had Chiefs 41, Bears 10. We had Dolphins 70,
yeah.
Broncos 20. And we had the Bills, what was their score? 37-3. Some great collegiate action. Some great collegiate scores this past weekend. Really, really enjoyed those.
We actually talked about how Miami Denver score was a collegiate game.
It was a lot of college-like things going on the NFL scoreboard this weekend. And I just need a little extra time to recover from that beatdown the boys took in the desert. So anyway, our question of the week this past week was to give us some nicknames, some of your favorite nicknames of NFL teams or segments of teams, not individual players. Eddie Cool, what did the people tell us?
All right, Scotty, you had me scared for a second. I'm like, did he just have a brain fart? I understand, Scotty D. You're going to school. It's a lot of moving parts, trying to take in information, trying to make sure you don't lose anything.
I got the wrong glasses. I'm all goofed up.
He got the wrong readers. Oh, man, and it's looking crazy, all right? And Scotty D goes, get his readers. I'll go ahead and read what I got here on the Choices of the Voices. All right, Will Jarger, he says, the Splash Brothers and Run TMC.
Wrong. Well, I didn't have it edited out correctly before he put it up. So we're going to get back. We're going to put a pin in that and get back to him in basketball season.
It was one of those things. I saw that you commented that you didn't pinpoint exactly what we were talking about. But
I thought the pictures were going to give the clue.
That's what I'm saying. So
hold that thought. Hold that thought till basketball season.
I ain't holding nothing. There was enough context clues for him to know what we was talking about. Penalty box. He's in there. Sorry. Can't do it.
Here we go. All right. Then we got Trey Dizzle, who we heard from earlier in our segment. If you didn't hear, please go back and listen to B-Lives of Responsible Trey Dizzle, his rant on Dak Prescott. Trey Duke says, the doomsday defense. Imagine if Dak Prescott had a defense that was really good, like for 3 or 4 years in a row. It would be so easy for a mediocre quarterback just to manage a game, a victory in the playoffs. Hypothetically, let's say this team with a good defense played the Niners twice in a row in the playoffs. It would be like cake. They would probably only score like 19 points and Dak would win easy.
Okay, so doomsday defense. Good call. Yeah. Love that. It's one of my all-time favorite nicknames, obviously.
Doomsday defense. All right, now Hall of Famer Uncle Max, he says, the fearsome foursome of the 1963 Rams.
Right. That was, we need Max to reach back and grab those early nicknames for us. Yeah, the fearsome foursome.
I can't even.
Who is that? Deacon Jones, Merlin Olsen? Was that those guys?
I thought that was, that sound about right. That sounds about right. Was that in the 70s? No, but that sounds about right.
Get me the lion.
Yeah, the fearsome foursome. Well, we'll just take two out of the four, Merlin Olsen and damn Deacon Jones, all right? All right, the best name in the game, JoJo Comfort said he always loved the Monsters of the Midway.
Yeah, that's still a cool nickname. That one still holds. People still like to use that one.
Too bad the team ain't holding.
No.
Lord have mercy.
Die Bears.
Yeah. Mark Old says the Orange Crush, the Denver Broncos.
My favorite is when they get Orange Crushed by the Cowboys in Super Bowl 12.
Boom. Orange Crush turned into Orange Juice. Hold the Simpson. Tom Wynn said Brian Sipe and the Cardiac Kids, the Cleveland Browns of the 1980s.
Ah, good one. Thank you, Tom. I like that one.
Yep. John Wasick, he said the Steel Curtain and the Purple People Eaters.
Ooh, the Vikings and Steelers of the 70s.
Purple Eaters, yes, sir.
Yeah, I like both of those names, Steve, because, you know, you try to envision, like, what's a steel curtain? And you try to envision a steel curtain, but no, you got, like, the vaulted Pittsburgh Steelers defense hitting you like a curtain made of steel. And then the Purple People Eaters, they were just, as that was Alan Page and them, just demolishing everybody. Just demolishing everybody. All right. JoJo Comfort did hit us with another one. He said, I do need to give honorable mention to Jerry Glanville's Grits Blitz. While he was the defensive coordinator for the Falcons in the late 70s. Good old Grits Blitz.
First of all, I don't remember that one. Do you guys remember that one? Second of all, the timeline's really off here.
Jerry Glanville, the late 70s. I thought that would have been in the early 90s, late 80s.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I know he was the coach of the Oilers in like the mid-80s and then moved to head coach of the Falcons. But I don't... Was he DC for the Falcons in late 70s? I don't remember that. I don't remember Grits Blitz.
The Grits Blitz pulls up when I do a quick Google search. You know, that's my research department. The 1977 Atlanta Falcons season.
Really? I don't remember that at all.
I don't know.
They only allowed 129 points in a 14-game season.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
I like the name. I like that. That's a good call for Joe Comfort. He gets a silver star today. Silver star in his paper.
Yep. Jerry Glanville on that staff, he was the defensive backs coach.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Jerry Glanville and the Grits Blitz. I remember that name, but I'm like Scotty D. I just didn't remember the period of time. All right. All right. Brian Lovell, he says the Steel Curtain. Brian Lovell, he says the Steel Curtain, Blitzburg, Purple People Eaters, and the Orange Crush. So ding, 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 and ding, and ding. He did that one too.
I'm gonna take a step back because I'm reading more about the Grits Blitz. The fact that they only allowed 129 points, which is probably like averaging eight, nine points allowed. They went 7-7. That means their offense was terrible.
Yeah.
That's what I'm over here looking like. I'm seeing a lot of, because in Wikipedia, it shows you green for wins and red for losses. I'm seeing a lot of red. They lost 10-6. They lost 3-0. Lost 14-7.
Good
lost
God.
10-3. I'm like, yeah.
So the under was a big bet for those that day.
I apologize. They're probably looking at me like, what is B Live looking at so crazy? Yeah, that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, that's worth the research. You're gonna call yourself the Grits Blitz, so you should be like smoking everybody if they average. We say be like eight, nine points a game, and then you're just losing by a field goal, losing by two touchdowns.
9.2 points a game. 2 points a game. It's just 9.2 points a game and was 7-7.
B-Lot, put a pin in that, man. I kind of want to compare that to the Baltimore Ravens defense. Just put a pin. We'll come back to that. Like from an average point per game wise. All right. I'm sorry. Move on. Yep. So yeah, Brian Lovell, the Steel Curtain, Blitzberg, the Purple People Eaters, and the Orange Crush. Then we got old Stan Sagley. He talking about the Dirty Birds.
I like that. That was one of my favorites.
Yeah, the Dirty Birds, the Atlanta Falcons, the Dirty Birds. I mean, it was apropos. It fitted. Oh, he's doing the Dirty Birds. Got to be doing the one-arm Dirty Bird. Oh, man. Hey.
That has got to be that we have got to put this on YouTube. That is the absolute. That is necessary.
That is gold. Scotty D does the Dirty Bird. It'll be a short, as the kids call it. We're going to use that picture, too. We sure will. All right. Chris Venable says, back in the day, some more NFC South stuff. Back in the day, Chris Venable said, the Dome Patrol. Scotty D, you remember that linebacking core?
Yeah. Sam Mills, head? Ricky Jackson.
Pat Swilling.
Vaughn. Pat Swilling and Vaughn, yeah.
Yeah. I watched a documentary on them a while back, and I was like, oh, my God. Yeah. Glad we didn't have to play that at all back then. Good God. All right. The big homie Marcus James, he says, the Cardiac Cats. Although we haven't had much of a pulse in recent years. I know, Marcus. I know.
It's painful. It is very, very painful. The way things sit, as just my heart is not going to be able to make it to a late age watching these Panthers, but it is
what it is. All right. Steven Delamore, what's going on, man? He said, how about some of the best running back duos like Smash and Dash, Lendale White and CJ2K? I remember that. Yeah. I remember they had all the potential in the world, and then Chris Johnson got hurt. And Lindale White is still on a milk carton to this day. Because I don't know what the hell happened to him. He fell off the map quick. In fantasy football,
good call though.
In fantasy football, he was a touchdown vulture. So understand that. All right. Last but not least, we got my man AD Series. He says the Cardiac Jags and then the Grave Diggers from Tampa Bay's front seven.
What are the Cardiac Jags at all? Yeah, I think they're trying to steal.
Yeah, that has no ring to it, the Cardiac Jags.
Yeah. But the Grave Diggers for the Tampa Bay front seven, I understand that. Because they had a mean defense, man. Real, real mean defense. All right. Shout out to everybody for their participation in this week's Choices of the Voices. And Scotty D, before you drop them readers, who you got? What you got? Let us know.
I'm going to give you two. One, I don't know if you guys remember because this was in the early 80s, but the Jets had Mark Gastineau and Joe Klecko, and they called them the New York Sack Exchange.
Yes,
because their defense was really good. Mark Gastineau was like an unstoppable force at that point in time. I always thought that was a cool nickname. And then just a couple years ago, and just surely because of how clever I thought the nickname was, I loved the name The Greatest Show on Turf, the Rams. With Kurt Warner slinging around Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce. I thought that was just a great name just because it kind of came out of nowhere. And it really was like a great show. And those guys were on the indoor track. So Greatest Show on Turf was one of my all-time favorite nicknames. Just thought it was so fitting for that team. Be Live, who you got?
I got a couple. You know, I'm going to throw in a couple of homers in there. Cardiac Cats, absolutely. I don't even think about this. I don't even like that name because Cardiac, they're going to put me in cardiac arrest because they just never find a way to really blow out an opponent except for the 2015 NFC Championship game, which I'll never forget. But it's 8 years now since we've seen any type of success like that.
Throttled the Cardinals. Throttled them.
Oh, it's abusive. Oh, my God.
What else you got?
Well, but I got to pay homage to my boys, Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams. Double trouble.
That was a fun watch.
That running back duo, man, oh, man. That was just run the ball.
That was the nickname?
I'm gonna throw in honorable
double trouble. Yeah,
that was the nickname they came up with for them, huh?
Double trouble. Yeah, double trouble. Mm.
Very, very, very creative.
But I also have to throw in, even though like Carolina just lost to Seattle, I got to throw in a couple for them because the 12th man is what it is in Seattle. It really is. I think we set a record for the most false starts ever in the history of false starts. And then just the Legion of Boom. When they laid the wood, that defense that Seattle had, God almighty, that's one of those things that Legion of Boom, Steel Curtain, those are names that'll go on in the annals of NFL history. You'll hear about that till the end of time just because of how dominant and how effective they were. So I wanted to throw that out there. Yes, sir.
Let's see. So that leaves me. Be Live, you named a few. Double Trouble was cool. The Cardiac Kids was cool. Cardiac Cats was cool. I tell you what, the Cardiac Cats were the Cardiac Cats, especially during the playoff game against the Rams. Yeah, it was just, I was in my house screaming. My mom's like, boy, what the hell is wrong with you? I'm like, we beat the Rams. We going to go to the Super Bowl, and which we did, and then things happened. I also liked who else did I like?
Double Trouble. Did you like that one?
Yeah, that was cool. Saxonville.
okay.
I like Saxonville. That was what the 2017 Jaguars, where they had Blake. I ain't got no business being here. Bortles as a quarterback, but that didn't matter because they had a young Jalen Ramsey, veteran Calais Campbell, Yannick Ngakoue. I forgot the dude, the defensive tackle, but he went on to Denver. They had him, and Saxonville was just that, Saxonville. You didn't get anything past them. They just played relentless and just raring defense. You could not get nothing past them. But then again, I also like the Legion of Boom, too, because that's what helped Russell Wilson win the Super Bowl. Yeah, so actually, my favorite out of them all has to be Saxonville, because you knew when you was bringing that ass to Jacksonville, chances are you's gonna get sacked. All right, shout out to everybody for their participation in this week's Choices of the Voices. Scotty D, what's on tap for next week, sir?
Yeah, before I move to our next question, I do want to throw a couple that didn't get mentioned in honor of our friend Joe Gaffigan, Mr. All Things Washington. But the Redskins had a couple good nicknames in the early 80s. They had the Fun Bunch,
yep,
which is like a group that would like get together after a touchdown, do like a high five in the end zone, and the Hogs for their offensive linemen. That actually, you remember people in the stands were wearing the pig noses and all that stuff just to celebrate the Hogs. And I think they called their receiving corps the Smurfs at one point, if I'm not mistaken. And then one that, you know, is obviously the greatest nickname of all teams in all sports of all time, America's Team. All-time greatest.
Ain't nobody trying to hear that.
And closely behind, Double Trouble. All right, so next week we are going to talk about, speaking of linemen and like the Hogs and that kind of stuff, I'm asking you to give us like five of your all-time favorite offensive linemen. The offensive linemen get overlooked a lot because there's no stats to really record other than sacks given up.
Yep.
But give us about four or five of your all-time favorite linemen. And you don't have to give them to us like by position. You can give me five centers if that's what you like. But we're going to talk about the boys in the trenches next week, your five favorite all-time offensive linemen. Eddie Cool, that'll give us something to talk about next week.
I know one that's not my favorite. NC State can keep him. If he get one more false start, I'm sending him back to Raleigh. It's a short trip from Charlotte to Raleigh. If he want me to get one more false start building. One more. Icky, I'm talking about you. My bad. I'm sorry. I digress.
Oh, Scotty D, we forgot another one. Speaking of the Redskin football team, Tater Skin Commanders. The over-the-hill gang, all right?
Oh, yeah.
The Over the Hill Gang, according to Wikipedia, the Over the Hill Gang was the George Allen coach Washington Redskins team of the early 70s. Named due to the large number of veteran players on the team, many of those players played for Allen when he coached for the Rams from 66 to 70. Yeah, the over-the-hill game. I wonder, okay, so here it is. The average age of the starters were 31 years old. Yeah, the over-the-hill game, 31 years old.
31's over the hill. Ugh.
The hell is that? Yeah, the hell is that? Yeah, Allen's strategy turned the Redskins around as the team improved to 9-4 in 1971 and finished the 1972 season with an NFC best 11-3 record. So, yeah, the old dogs, the over the hill gang, made it happen.
Yep. Oh, I'm a throw since we're just throwing out stuff as well. All roads lead to Dabo. I know it is an NFL, but they got drafted in the NFL, and it's all good. The Power Rangers, Clemson's defensive line for the 2018-15-0 season. Cleveland Farrell, Christian Wilkins, Dexter Lawrence, and Austin Bryant. Pharrell Wilkins and Lawrence all got drafted in the first round in the 2019 draft. Austin Bryant got drafted in the fourth round. And, they all decided to come back to school for one more try. To put together a national championship, Clemson's Power Rangers.
Go so next week, we're going to be talking about offensive linemen.
Scotty D, I get the cue. That's the, all right, wrap this ish up and let's go. Coming up next, we got a round of pepper right here on the Sports Bros Pocket.
Later, double trouble.
Actually, that defensive lineman for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Malik Jackson. Gotcha. All right, round of pepper coming up right after this.
Okay, boys, let's bring it home with a round of pepper.
Well, you heard the woman. It's time for us to go home and get what I call the hell up out of here. But before we go, we got a round of pepper. You know how we do it. Three topics, rapid fire style, kind of, sort of, not really, here to engage, enlighten, educate, and entertain. The four E's in no particular order. Well, it's back to the two-man power trip. Unk and Ocho. Or Stephen A. and Shannon Sharp, whatever you want to call us, we up in here, all right? So with that being said, I'll go first. On this day in history, back in 1936, the Boston Redskins and the Brooklyn Dodgers play one of only four penalty-free games in NFL history. Boston wins 14-3 at Ebbets Field in Brooklyn. I'm pretty sure that game moved fast, man. It had to. No penalties? Oh, man. I would have loved to have seen that on TV, but then again, I don't think they were throwing the ball back then. And the TV wasn't around. Well, wishful thinking. Over to you, B-Live.
All right. My first pepper point is pretty simple. When fans don't like you is one thing. But when former professional Hall of Fame players don't like you, it's a bad situation. And that's what's going on. And East Rutherford, New Jersey, a.k.a. wherever. I don't even know where they play at anymore. It don't even matter. It ain't in New York. But the New York Jets and Zach Wilson and Robert Saleh and GM, or I don't even know who the GM is, they do not have a fan in Hollywood, Joe name. If he said... He said, hold on. I didn't take anything positive out of this last game where they lost to the Patriots. It was awful. He said one play in particular where Zach Wilson took a sack without even being hit. He's like, you sit down? You sit down on a play? You go right down? Wow. What happened? I thought you were trying to win and make plays. You quit on a play? What is going on? It's disgusting. I wouldn't keep him. I've seen enough of Zach Wilson. Joe Namath held back nothing. He said, everybody got to go. This is just ugly football. Jets, sorry to hear it, but yeah, y'all got to do something, do better. He just went off. Eddie Cool, the ball.
Oh, Joe Willie Namath. Yep. All right, on this day in history, in 1961, Sandy Koufax sets the National League strikeout season record at 269. 269 strikeouts. The ability to be able just to make a man miss while swinging a baseball is one thing, but to do it 269 times is a feat within itself. Over to you, B-Live.
All right. My second pepper point, I'm going to sneak in real quick, just a little bit of NBA, because I found it very intriguing that multiple sources state that Damian Lillard is probably going to be in a different uniform this year, and he might be going a northern direction, where the Toronto Raptors are current front runners for Dame Dollar. So what can he do in Canada? We shall see. Eddie Cool, the ball.
That's it. You know what? I never considered Toronto to be. Maybe there's something going on up there that we do not know. But either way, it's like he's going to deal with the North, whether he stays in rainy-ass Portland or cold-ass Toronto, all right? All right, my third and final pepper point is about Patrick Mahomes. Of course, you know, this week the Kansas City beat the brakes off the Chicago Bears. The highlight of the game was Taylor Swift being at the game. Yeah, Taylor Swift and the Swifties being at the game. And it was just a hoopla and much to do about nothing, because at that point, it wasn't about the Bears. It was like, you know what, let's find something else to pay attention about, and which they did, all right? So, that being said, Patrick Mahomes, the man who got a bunch of money, still getting a bunch of money, got his contract restructured, and still getting a bunch of damn money, all right? Patrick Mahomes reaches the landmark milestone of 25,000 yards passing as the Chiefs beat the Bears. He is the fastest quarterback to reach that mark in terms of games. Now, we already know that this guy's already a future Hall of Famer. The thing about it is, Patrick Mahomes hadn't even played 10 years of football yet in the National Football League, so his trajectory is very high. All right, so number one is him, the team Kansas City Chiefs, and it took him 83 games. Matthew Stafford plays for the Detroit Lions, now playing for the LA Rams, 90 games. And Dan Marino, if my facts are right, it took him 93 games. So you got three guys, three good quarterbacks, two surefire, you know, one surefire Hall of Famer, another future Hall of Famer. And I'm not knocking Matt Stafford, but that's still a good accomplishment too. So, Patrick Mahomes, 25,000 yards. Over you, B-Live.
All right. My third and final pepper point, as it said, you know how I like to go for the most ridiculous thing I've seen each and every week. And I featured as what I like to call what happened. You've heard it plenty of times this episode. But man, oh man, this is the big what happened, because there was no game bigger in college football than Ohio State, Notre Dame, and South Bend this week. All the playoff implications were in place. And you got to have your A game going on. There's all kinds of preparation, planning, all of the coaches' meetings, practice, all these scenarios going into place. But one of the very simple and basic elements of football is having 11 players on the field.
11.
That is something that Notre Dame failed to do on the last two plays of the game against Ohio State. And Ohio State took advantage and was able to run the ball up the middle and scored a game-winning touchdown. Because 11 will beat 10 every single time. And now, Marcus Freeman, the coach, he said, moving forward, we're just going to have to, we're going to take a penalty if that happens again. How about you just have 11 players on the field?
I was just saying.
If you don't have the foresight, you don't have the plans in place to have 11 players on the field, especially during the last part of the game, especially when you need it the very most, that is a basic element of coaching. You're gonna take a penalty. You are prepared to take a penalty. How about you prepare to have 11 players on the field? That's ridiculous. Notre Dame, come on. This was it. This, I think, was the closest opportunity that you're going to have to make the playoff. You'll have a chance next year when there's 12 and blah, blah, blah. But you keep doing silly stuff like this, you're not going to make it far. That is just terrible. Oh, my God. Marcus Freeman, come on, bro. Come on. You got to do better. What happened? Just have enough players on the field. What do you do?
Yeah, that's something you can't do tomorrow. We'll just take the penalty. Like you said, be like, how about you just, put the kicker ass out there. I don't know. Put where you need to be, where you need to be, when they need to be, so we can make this happen. Like, I'll just take the penalty. Bruh.
Right.
Bruh. That's a bro moment. That's a moment where that's a bro moment if I've ever seen one like, bruh. You really want to say it? Oh, I'll just take the penalty. No, you don't.
If anything, you don't say that. You don't say, oh, yeah. Well, we'll put a plan in place that we'll signal to do to take a penalty so we can get that person on the field. How about you plan properly?
Yeah, that's how you make yourself looking to go from genius to jester to jabroni in 2.5 seconds. It's weird, man. It's weird, man. Be live. It's time for us to get the hell up out of here, man. Where can the people find you?
Well, as Eddie Cool stated earlier, you can find me here at the Share Studios Tuesday through Saturday, 10 o'clock a.m. to 6 o'clock p.m. We do take appointments in additional hours if necessary and everything. We will work with you, located 3005 Sigmund Street here in Fayetteville, North Carolina. You can find me also. I'm doing a lot, but you can find me this weekend in the ATL. Your boy is going to be at Truist Park, Atlanta Braves versus the Washington Nationals, final series of the year, where the Braves are going to clinch home field advantage throughout the playoffs for DA, and I'm here for it. Yes, sir.
Yep, with that being said, you can find me on all the social media platforms at The Real Eddie Cool on Twitter/X, right here on Facebook, all over the place. This coming week, I'll be directing, that's right, you heard me, directing the live stream high school football game between the Black River Pirates as they travel to Oberlin to take on the Oberlin Phoenix and some LC8 high school football action. Game time starts at 7:30. If you're interested, you can watch also as well, too, on the Lorain County Sports Network. Also, I'll be making an appearance on the Tapped In with Tony podcast with our good listener, Tony Bogan. And we'll be talking about high school football right here in Northeast Ohio. And I'll be talking about what's going on right here in Lorain County at the halfway point in the season. And looking forward to it. It's a busy week, Be Live. I'm busy as hell, but it's the busy I prayed for. And with that being said, and in closing, do something nice for yourself. And if you can, do something nice for someone else. They'll greatly appreciate it now more than ever. Be a blessing, not a burden. And just be nice, because you never know what the other person is going through. But if they start treating you like poo-poo, you know what to do, all right? It's been another episode of the Sports Bros Podcast. Be live, take us home.
Yes, sir.
Shout out to everybody that's been listening over the past 4 years. Shout out to Scotty D, who's in school. Shout out to Joe Gafkin, man. We love you. And just shout out to all y'all, man. All y'all, love y'all. Thank y'all for watching and listening to another episode of the Sports Bros Podcast. All right, Be Live, I'm done talking. Hey, it's Eddie Cool here from the Sports Bros Podcast. Thank you for listening, and as always, continue to follow us on all of our social media platforms. Just click the link in the description box and keep up with the Sports Bros Podcast. And once again, thanks for listening.